For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Walk in Him.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around.
Get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day of August 2023. Boy, summer's going by really quick. And folks, tonight we have a whole lot to cover. I mean a lot. So our producer tonight for the entire while is Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have a couple special guests tonight. One of them sitting right here in the studio with me, our Director of Research, Heather Copper.
Hello, brave listeners.
There you go. Now, and of course, way out yonder, that legendary Missouri preacher, Joe Larson.
And I'm just wondering, with you and Heather, that this is going to be something that the audience will have to get used to.
Heather and I never got used to it. All righty. Way out there in Texas, out there where McTurden says, our special guest tonight, he is the director and the founder of Tactical Civics, Dr. David Zuniga. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Pastor, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
Here in Texas.
We have a whole lot to cover, so we're going to get right into the scripture. And I got a feeling you're going to probably be real agreeable to the scripture tonight. And we're going to start tonight. Well, first of all, the title of the message was, You Do Error Not Knowing the Scriptures. You Do Error Not Knowing the Scriptures. And we're going to start tonight over in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. And, Joe, let's take it one verse at a time here, because what we have is we have the tempting of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And so let's take it one verse at a time. Go ahead.
All right. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk.
Pharisees were the judicial of that day. And the idea is they're going to try to place the Lord Jesus Christ in a position where he can't give a right answer, okay? Like in the old saying, are you still beating your wife, okay? Well, you say, well, no, you know, I wouldn't beat her. I'm not beating her, okay? In other words, you're not beating her anymore. You know, that was the old saying, but here, so the idea is to put him in a position where he can't give a right answer. Boy, did they pick on the wrong guy for that, huh? And then read verse 16.
Out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men.
I could not hear you, Style. What were you saying?
Oh. Okay. We got a lot of feedback on your end right now.
I'm trying to think of where that would be. Let me see. We should be turned down. All of the mics should be off except for the two that we're using here. So, and I'm looking to see, and it looks like they're all off. Say that again. I can barely hear you.
It might be the volume in your headset.
So you want me to turn the volume up or down? How do you want? Down? Okay. So is that any better?
Sounds a little better.
Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me adjust hers. Okay. There you go. That's Heather. Maybe that would be a little better too. All right. Okay. Now, sorry about that. Go ahead, Joe, and read 16 again.
And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. They kind of twisted that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Now, here, and by the way, David, you know, just jump in if you have a comment, just jump in. Now, we see the Pharisees were the judicial that day. The Herodians were the legislators, okay? Normally, they were totally at odds, like the Democrats and Republicans today. But even more so, they were totally the Herodians were big supporters of the Roman government, and the Pharisees were not at all supporters of the Roman government. So they were at odds here, okay? So now, they have a question. Now, this is one of the most misrepresented passages of all of Scripture. And the reason for that is because you do err not knowing the Scriptures. And unfortunately, there's so much error from the pulpits in this country. It's an amazing because of biblical literacy. So now, he goes on and he says in verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Well, who did Caesar proclaim that he was?
He proclaimed to be a king.
Okay, no. Caesar proclaimed to be God.
God, yeah.
Okay, now, see, I'm going to have to turn my volume up now here because, you see, I can barely hear Joe. So
I've got you turned up so that you're just screaming in my ear if I hear you at all. So the sound isn't good tonight.
No. Okay, so anyhow, so here, Caesar professed to be king. All over they had worship Caesar. Now, what is the first commandment?
Thou shalt love the Lord.
No. Have no other gods before
God right? before me.
Now, so Caesar proclaimed to be God. Now, if, in fact, Jesus was to say, yeah, go ahead and tithe to Caesar or pay your tribute to him, then they could, under the Jewish law, and even under Herod, they could stone Jesus, okay, for violation of the first commandment. On the other hand, if he was to say, no, you don't pay anything to Caesar, then under Caesar, he would be guilty of insurrection. So the idea was he couldn't give a right answer. Now, here's where we get into the great amount of biblical illiteracy that is out there, okay? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? All right, now remember, he is talking to the lawmakers. Now, the lawmakers were supposed to know the laws, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay.
Supposed to. Unless it's kind of like nowadays, you got to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Well, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and pass it, and then we'll know what's in it. But they wasn't quite the same. They took a lot of liberties with the laws of Moses. They took a lot of liberties, like they're doing with our Constitution today, huh? Now, so here they were the lawmakers, and Jesus says this, show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, or a denarii, if they would. And he said unto them, whose is the superscription? Okay, the image and superscription. Okay. Now, and they said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's. The things what? According to the law. According to the law, right, which is Caesar's. And unto God the things which are God's. Okay, so now that goes into question. So, Joe, turn to Exodus 19 and read me verse 5. Exodus 19 and verse 5. Never mind, I'll do it, okay, because I'm quick, all right?
Exodus 19, 5. Got it.
Go it. Go for it.
Okay. And now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Okay. I want you to go over to Psalm 50 and read me verse 12. He's quick tonight.
Psalm 50:12. I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Okay, and now go over to 1 Corinthians 10 and read me verse 26.
First Corinthians 10 what? 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Okay, so now let me go back to here to verse 19, show me the tribute money. And he brought him a penny. And he said, whose is the image and superscription on there? Okay, now, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, remember, Joe, he gave us five very clear points, right?
Points, right.
Now, the third point was the most important, because the third point was the entire purpose of divine human government. And therein is where we got the statute, okay, of the death penalty. And God made it clear that he had given men, verses 1 through 4, dominion over the environment, but he kept dominion of man for himself. He kept dominion of man for himself. Therefore, to destroy the image of God, that's man, all men are the image of God, that then you're destroying God's property. It's God's property. What are you doing? Okay, you're transgressing the dominion of God. Okay, and it's like, remember when we were in the military, and if you would tangle with one of the other soldiers, they would charge you with destroying government property. Okay.
Right. If you went and got yourself a severe sunburn, you were harming government property and could be court-martialed.
And if you went out and you got drunk and disorderly, then you were doing the same. You didn't do that, did you, Joe?
Never happened.
All right. Okay, now.
Helicopter pilots did not drink.
All right.
Never mind.
Okay.
It's a joke.
We'll let that one go for tonight. Now,
yeah.
So now he's making a point that here when he says, render unto Caesar, therefore unto Caesar, the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, here he says the earth under the law, according to the law, because this is what he's referring to. According to the law, the earth and the fullness thereof. You just read it three times. The fullness means the entire, everything that's on the earth, everything that's on the earth belongs to God. So if everything on the earth, including Caesar, belongs to God, what is left for Caesar?
Whatever God allows him to have.
Right. So we don't, I mean, in other words, he's telling them according to the law. The idea that they're trying to trip him up. Now, when the Pharisees had to go back, and the Herodians to the people, especially the Pharisees, and the people said, well, what did he say? And they said, well, according to the law, render to God what belongs to God, and render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And they said, well, then according to the law, what belongs to God and what belongs to Caesar? Now, if the earth and the fullness thereof belong to God, okay, and everything on the earth, including Caesar, what does that leave? Joe, do you own your farm?
Well, according to the laws here, earthly laws, but really it's God's property.
That's exactly right, because I'll bet just when you leave this world, I'll bet you don't take one horse, one cow, or one hog with you, right?
Nope, not even a fence post.
So really, it don't belong to you. God has simply placed it in your care, right?
Right. It's temporarily mine while I occupy the space.
So there's nothing that we can take with us out of this world, okay? There's nothing we can take with us out of this world when we leave this world here. Now, there's only one thing that will be left when the Bible says when God remakes the earth and he burns it over. The only one thing will be left on intact. Everything will be destroyed, and that one thing is the Word of God. That's it. You're absolutely right. So here now,
Jesus just, he told them Caesar belongs to God. Caesar belongs to me. I own him.
Right. Well, he was talking to the lawmakers, remember there, okay? So they understood. And and now they understood that they're not so slick as they thought they were, huh?
They weren't quite smart by half.
Right. Okay, so that's reality. So let's ask David. Now, David, when it comes to this being preached, this is one of the most misrepresented, just like Romans 6, 13, or also in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 17, where he refers to going to the temple and paying the temple tax. And the Lord Jesus asked him, who has to pay the tax, the king's children? And they said, well, no, not the king's children. Well, let me ask you this. Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, who's his children?
Well, we are.
So then why do we act like we're second-class citizens? Why do so many people, because the world tries to tell us that we're second-class citizens, and this is their planet, and we shouldn't be on their planet, right? I mean, this is the message that they're giving us out there today from the globalist and the climate control wackos, okay? And why are they doing it? Because of biblical literacy, because of my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, huh?
Amen.
All right, we're going to...
So, in other words, this earth belongs to our Father. Those of us that are born-again believers are the sons and daughters. So in a way, the earth is our temporary inheritance until we go to our real home for eternity.
Exactly. So then why...
ours, not theirs, and we can tell them so.
So then why do so many people, so many preachers preach that what I just read you is there to say that we must pay our taxes, that's what that's all about, okay? That is not what that is saying if you're biblically literate, okay? Now... I'm not telling you you don't have to pay taxes of government. I'm not saying that you don't have to, because you should always pay what you owe. Always pay what you owe, okay? But to say that there, that tells you right there, it's just like the tribute money here over there in chapter 17. And when they came and when they were come to Capernaum, they received tribute money, and came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? And he said, yeah. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Whom do the kings of the earth pay custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. notwithstanding, because you made a commitment for you and me. And then he told him to go down to the sea and cast in the line, and there would be the amount of money for exactly two for the temple tax would be paid. But again, that's the point, that we didn't owe the temple tax, okay? And so we have our system of taxation, the IRS, is so corrupted. It is absolutely so. Our entire form of government today has become so corrupted. And this is where we've got to take it back. So we're going to do two things. We're going to play a quick clip here and then a song. And then, David, I'm going to sit back and shut up and let you tell us all about tactical civics, because we have a whole lot of people wanting to hear about this. We've been promoting this week. So go ahead, Style, and play that little clip. I think he's there. I hope he can hear me. We've been having...
Because industrial agriculture wanted to close down the family farm. Now, that's an objective fact. If you go back and look at it, you know, we didn't have climate change. We had a manufactured financial crisis that did not affect family farms, but was taken from the large corporate banks and infected the family farm banks, which gave rise to the incapacity for farmers to farm. The Dust Bowl was a banking crisis. It was not an environmental crisis. If you look at the bizarre nature right now of the people who are administering the campaign of terror on CO2 emissions, and you're watching them let forest fires be started and burned with impunity, you sit back and go, well, hold on a minute, I thought carbon dioxide was bad. So why are we increasing the carbon dioxide by taking trees out of circulation? Well, the answer is land reappropriation. That's what it's about. It's about reappropriating land. And the best way to reappropriate land is to have a fire. That has been the case since the Old Testament. So this is not a new thing. This has been around for thousands and thousands of years. When humans cannot win on a fair playing field, they use fire. And they use fire to destroy a old appropriation of land and reappropriate it to a new use. There's no question that what is going on in Canada right now is a massive, massive, massive land grab where the state will come in its largesse, and propose new development of what? Of things that will be pro-state. That's not a human recovery. And by the way, as much as Maui may or may not be the sum of a series of electrical failures, there is no question that the power systems in Maui were not managed to diminish the risk of fire. We will not say, and I will not say, they necessarily intentionally set them. I'm not going to get into that conversation. What I will say is that very simple safety protocols, like if lines are down, don't send energy back into a down line, those kinds of things were not done. So were some of those fires, without question, at least negligently set? The answer is without question. The evidence is unambiguous. And by the way, even NPR talks about that evidence. So the fact is, we know that what we have is a situation where this ongoing campaign of terror is about reallocating, redistributing, and reappropriating resources into state control. And there's no question that that's what happened in Maui. There's no question that's what's happening in Canada. And there's no question that that's what's happening in fires that are going on all around the world, remarkably in places where climate change activists say they're the most concerned with climate change. They're pumping CO2 into the air. So This hypocrisy is necessary to create the cognitive dissonance.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same.
they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. Awaken, we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not going to take it anymore, and that's why David Zinnick is here tonight. He's going to tell us how we can take our country back. So, David, tell us all about tactical civics and what we got to do to get it done.
Well, that was a perfect bumper song there, Ernie.
Yeah.
Tactical civics is the action mission of America Again Trust. That's a consciously Christian charitable perpetual trust that my brother Oscar and I founded 15 years ago with 46 other volunteers. We have invested now well over 80,000 hours, developing what we believe is the only action organization today that's a full-spectrum solution. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you folks about tonight. And we started planting chapters, county chapters, 3 years ago. We're now in all 50 states, over 770 county chapters, adding more every day. We're building the only citizen action network that steers clear of politics. We stay out of politics. We train you in a whole new self-concept, oversight of our servants, and law enforcement as a basic American duty. That's what we show you. Full spectrum, it's lawful, it's peaceful, it's multi-generational. Got to look at this for the rest of our lives and our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives, etc. I've written 15 books. We have hundreds of thematic podcasts that go back years. We go over different themes every Sunday night, and we cover a different area. We open things up and talk about them. We've been doing that for years. We host daily Zoom meetings at, if you go to tacticalcivics.com, that's the mothership, and then you go into our training center, and we have Zoom meetings every day on one or another chapter of our main book, which is called The Great We Set, How You Can Join Americans Taking America Back One County at a Time and Enforcing the Constitution at Last. And so out of the 15 books we have, this is the main one. This is the one that it kind of covers everything, so you get a complete rundown on the full spectrum long-term solution. It's called The Great We Set. You can find it at Amazon. We give it to you free if you join us, and we ask you to give it away for free, the PDF volume. So 234 pages. It doesn't take that long to read. More than half of that is appendices, so it's actually a fairly fast read. It's an action network. So right now, first let me tell you what, and I know, Ernie, you know this very, very well, but our Constitution is unique in all of human history, despite its flaws. It's the most powerful law of self-government that's ever been devised. But what Americans are never taught, even if they know that it is a law, they're never taught the fact that our supreme law of the land can only be enforced by its creator. Who is its creator? Well, read the first three words. We the people. Okay, so we say, do ordain this Constitution. Well, yeah, but people don't learn that, well, wait a minute, if anybody's going to enforce it, it has to be the creator of that law. So it's insane to believe, as so many do, that James Madison's, God bless him, his checks and balances can work when you have these three demonstrable criminals. All three branches are criminals. How are they? They're never going to arrest one another. So we're stuck, aren't we, saints? We're stuck. So one of the five books that I'm writing right now is my first children's book. I've never written a children's book, but our cartoon artist and I are both very excited about this book coming up. Title is going to be, Yikes, America's Not Supposed to Work This Way. And the subtitle, very tongue-in-cheek, is A Civics Primer for Young Children of Godly and Astoundingly Gifted Responsible Parents. So, and it's got a picture of Uncle Sam with his long arms grabbing all of America, you know, standing over, you know, over America and grabbing it. So we're going to try to teach children from ages 4 through 10 civics. We're going to show you what's wrong. So we're going to have little 8-year-olds telling grandparents how things run. So anyway, we're very excited about that coming book. We already have a book for high schoolers, Tactical Civics High School Edition. It's a 31-unit tutorial. You will never get it in, you know, if you're taking poli sci in college or university, you'll never get this stuff. It's a really good book, Tactical Civics for High School Edition. But anyway, we the people have never in the history, in 234 years, we've never even attempted to enforce our highest law. Not one time. Now, I know that's the stupidest thing you can imagine, but it's the stupidest thing we're doing right now as a people, because God has rendered us stupid. And I'll explain that in a minute. Now, I accurately refer to the ruthless, lawless city-state on the Potomac River. I call it the DCCP because it's communism as defined. If you go look at Karl Marx's 1848 Communist Manifesto and you see, oh, wow, all 10 planks of that Communist Manifesto have been DCCP policy since Woodrow Wilson was in the White House. So for over a century, we've been fully communist, according to Marx. All right. And it's not just the DCCP isn't just the corrupt public employees in Earth's most most criminal city-state. It's also the more than 100,000 unregistered lobbyists who work there, who make the DCCP classic fascism. Because if you think about what is fascism, well, go back to Benito Mussolini, Il Duce. Benito Mussolini, the Italian dictator, he defined fascism as the alliance of strong central government with the corporations to control the people in the service of the state. Now, isn't that what we have? That's absolutely what we have. So the DCCP has been both fascist and communist. So since before Woodrow Wilson's administration. So we're in a real fix, aren't we, saints? We're in a real fix. Let me explain how this transmogrified America into a fascist machine. If you think about it, most Americans, I know you guys do on this show, but most Americans don't realize that almost all federal legislation and most state legislation is written by industry or special interest groups, their law firms. It's not written by legislators. Oh, my. Since Lincoln was in the White House, that's been the case. And then it's edited into final form. The bill is edited at the end by these two in-house packs of lawyers called the House Legislative Council Office and the Senate Legislative Council's Office.
That's so true. Let me jump in just a minute, but here, that's true for the most part. But I have over the years worked on a lot of pro-life legislation myself, where we've put it together. And of course, you're right; it had to go then from us to the legislators, and they do have their legal experts look at it. And so by the time it's finished, and by the time, but we have. For example, we were the ones that what they called originally the brain suction abortion bill. And then they turned it to the partial birth. I was one of the ones that worked on that. Also on the heartbeat bill, we worked on that. But for most, what you're saying, for 90%, you're right. It's
well, I'm not saying that it's wrong for the people industry or special interest groups. And their law firms write law. A lot of times it's fine. That's just fine. But all I'm saying is that legislators don't usually write federal legislation today.
That's right.
They sponsor it. So,
yep.
So when you look at when 90% of what's coming out is written by the law firms for industry, that's classic fascism.
Yep.
So when you have central government and the corporations working together to control the citizens in the service of the state, Mussolini called that fascism. That's what the ancient Roman Senate used to do with the moneyed families of Rome and with the guilds in Rome. It was the same thing. It's fascist. So, but it's criminal in our case because if you read the Constitution, we the people don't stipulate that. We don't allow that. Congress's function is supposed to be writing the laws, and yet they don't. So these are infamous crimes in many, many cases. In his 1935 book, War is a Racket, U.S. Marine Corps, the most decorated U.S. Marine Corps officer in history, General Smedley Butler, wrote this book, War is a Racket, and went all over the country in the 1930s describing how his troops, went and served all of these American cartel of American corporations directing the military. And it's the free mercenary service for Earth's apex predators, for all these corporations. And General Butler demonstrated that this was three generations ago. But nobody cared back then. See, they did. He went all over America speaking about it, and people just didn't care. And then a generation later, in 1969, criminologist Donald Cressy wrote a big, fat 400-page book called Theft of the Nation, The Structure and Operations of Organized Crime in America.
We should should let the people know what a generation is. The Bible gives us two different generations, a righteous and an unrighteous. And a righteous generation is 70 or 70 years, but an unrighteous is 40 years, and boy, that's what you're dealing with is the unrighteous generation, huh?
Yes, yes, approximately, yeah. And so this criminologist, this award-winning criminologist, Don Cressy, writes this book. He names names. He gives lots and lots of names. He showed how corrupt our federal and our state servants were. This was 54 years ago. And again, just like when General Butler wrote War is a Racket, America didn't care. In 1969, they just didn't care enough to do anything with that book. So now we're watching all of this Banana Republic stuff that, Ernie, you talk about every day. I mean, all of this open, cynical fraud and racketeering and rigged political investigations with fake evidence, you know, for what, 7 years now, just against the Trump, say, you know, the entire DCCP, including these illegal spy agencies, going after one man who threatened, who was, you know, possibly exposing their crimes. And so, especially who was cutting way back on those multi-billion-dollar war contracts. And you notice, as soon as he was gone and Biden got back in, he cranked the war industry right back up after, you know, and they're spending the tens and hundreds of billions of dollars again. So, like General Butler told us 90 years ago, and General Eisenhower reiterated that 25 years later.
Military-industrial complex.
Yes. He created that term, the military-industrial complex, in 61 when he gave that speech. And the war industry is a racket, and it runs D.C. And alongside the oil and the banking industries, they run the town. They run that city-state. There's hundreds of books exposing all of these crimes that go on in the DCCP. There's Confessions of an Economic Hitman, the American Deep State, the Devil's Chessboard, CIA is Organized Crime. There's hundreds of books telling all, you know, telling just how corrupt. Okay, so the DOJ, by the way, isn't only a fraud that was never designed to give America justice. It was never designed for that. Only the administration that it works for. That's all. The DOJ's very existence is unconstitutional. We didn't authorize that. Read the Constitution. It's nowhere in there. It began as a part-time job for one lawyer, but just like the FBI and the CIA, it grew itself kind of like a cancer out of all these manufactured emergencies, and now it's this big monster. And people expect justice from it. It's a law firm that works for the administration. Hello? So our reform law called the Intelligent Republic Act, one of our 19 reform laws that we will get to when we're built up big enough and we've already got the other things I'm going to talk about in a minute. The Intelligent Republic Act just builds on the reform work of several legislators who have tried, who have, you know, several former spy agency operatives who have written tell-all books and said, look, here's how we can fix it. Here's how we fix the FBI. Here's how we fix the CIA. We already have the answers of how we can, you know, severely defund, severely restrict the powers of those agencies until they're reduced to actual national security functions, but always accountable and always visible to congressional oversight. Right now, they are not. Through security classification, they can put the blinders on the members of Congress and nobody knows what they're doing. So no agency can ever lawfully have the authority to restrict Congress and the administration from reviewing their operations. If any black op is off the books, that means it's off the Constitution. That means it's illegal in this republic. Okay, so enough about the symptoms. All right. See, the evil oligarchs and all the crooks that they control in D.C., they are the apex predator. Among humankind, they are. They're the apex predator right now. But saints, you have to think bigger than that. They're just the tools of God's judgment on us, on America, for refusing to repent, for refusing to humble ourselves for generations now before his face. We don't seek his face. Look at the church. We have between 325 and 380,000 churches in this country. Why? Judgment begins at the threshold of the church. Why are all these things still going on? Well, let's look at Romans 1. Paul's writing my favorite letter. Paul's writing this letter to the new church at Rome. He says that God gives, you know, when you refuse to glorify God that you know exists, God will give you over to perversion and lovelessness and disobedience and a bunch of other things, 24 maladies and sins. One of them is inability to understand. In other words, stupidity. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about this from his prison cell before Hitler had him hanged. He said that stupid people are more dangerous to civilization than evil people are. And this author, Carlo Cipolla, wrote a little book called The Basic Laws of Human Stupidity. And he carries out, you know, he carries on where Dietrich Bonhoeffer sort of started the conversation. He explains that stupidity is independent of anything else. So you can be a double PhD and be just as likely to be stupid as somebody who didn't graduate middle school. You can be a billionaire and be just as likely to be stupid as a homeless guy.
You can be on the Supreme Court and not even know what a woman is.
Precisely, brother. Exactly. You see, we see it every day, right? So right. An American is just as likely to be stupid as a Mexican, all right? So another law that Cipolla mentions in the book is that stupid people are the vast majority in all times. And if you go read Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 10, Jeremiah 51, that's what God says through his prophet. Most people, they're stupid. That's just the way it is. That's the human condition since the garden. All right, so, and why? So Paul is telling the church at Rome in this letter, and we're going to read more of it from 13 here in a second. He's telling them, look, if you know this God, you know God exists, and you refuse to glorify him, you're going to start doing all of these things. God's going to give you over to these things. Now, when God gives somebody over to something, guess what? That's what that person's going to do. You don't arm wrestle God. Nobody beats God. When God does something, it happens. So when he gives a people over to all of these maladies that you read in verses 19 through 32 of Romans 1, we're not getting out of that until the only way out of that is repentance. All right, so back to the nightmare and how we can end it. All right, we need to enforce our highest law against all these high-level criminals. God makes provision for this. Let's stay in the letter to the Romans. Unlike all other populations on this earth, we, Americans, can only apply Romans 13. When you're reading Romans 13 about the higher authority, and when you put it in the terms of the higher magistrate, you've got to have the U.S. Constitution also in hand. You got to remember, we don't live in Italy. We don't live in Venezuela. We live in America, all right? So in our constitutional system, we the people are the higher authorities that Paul is talking about. So when we need to return to our duties, we need to bear the sword against criminals. We need to make them fear. Like Paul says, do you want to have no fear of the authorities? Then do what is right, and you'll be, you know. So Paul lays it all out. This is what God requires of us. As Americans, we have the most unusual application of Romans 13 of any population on earth. That's what our Constitution, by the grace of God, gives us. All right, so if you look at Congress, look, they're the mules, they're the puppets of billionaires, of corporations and all that. But those higher order predators need Congress, and they need state legislators too. This happens a lot in our state palaces, by the way. They're just as corrupt as D.C. But see, these higher order predators, they can't tap or control us or our money or our firearms or our alternative media or our daily going about, you know, they can't do any of that without Congress and state legislatures' lawless legislation and illicit regulations. They need those game pieces. They're using our game pieces. All right, so we the people need to take back the oversight and control of our legislators, right? When we do that, boom, everything changes. All right, but how do we reawaken stupid Americans? Remember, most Americans are stupid. Straight out of God's word. Read Carlo Cipolla's book. It's really true. So if we go and we say, all right, how do we repent? How do we fix this? So we can take up the chores that we're supposed to take up over the Constitution. Well, obviously, if you go around to the institutional churches right now, present company accepted, and we've got a lot of pastors, by the way, in our membership, so there are churches joining, but I mean, out of the 350,000 churches, we only have a few in our membership so far, but we're growing. We're growing in the body of Christ. So when it comes to the work of real repentance, if we want evil to not just persist and persist and persist and have our grandchildren growing up in much worse condition than we are right now, what you're watching, by the way, saints, right now what you're watching, I know you don't believe this, but I'm telling you, what you're watching is you're watching a predator die. You're watching 160-year-old American communism dying. Okay? That's what we're going through right now. I prove this in many of my books. I walk you through it. I show you the evidence for this. Obama didn't start anything. Obama was the other bookend. Guess who the first bookend was? You're not going to believe this. Abe Lincoln. So anyway, we make these points, and we document these points with lots of books and lots of data. So we've been in this fix for a lot longer than most people think. So you have to begin with personal repentance, and you have to start learning American history and American civics. So what we do is, in our books, we boil it all down. And so what I tell people, if you have a homeschooled child who's 16 to 18 to 19 years old, give them our high school book, and they will, in 31 units, they will go through more than they would get in an undergraduate political science, far more than they would get from a political science degree, believe it or not, from one book. If you read The Great Reset as an adult, you will get more out of that one book, I promise you, and we'll give it to you for free. Read that book. It will change your life. Now, it took us 80,000 hours to get here, but it won't take you that long. So the reason we've built this whole strategic and tactical group, and it's growing like crazy now, is we feel that the Lord is operating right now in all of our lives, and all we're doing is we're just his hands and feet. I mean, we are falling forward, and the Lord is providing. It's amazing what he's doing right now here in America. So our mission is, we tell everybody, look, if you're not a Christian, you can still join, but we're unapologetically dedicated to the glory of Jesus Christ and his crown rights, like America was for 300 years after the first English colonization. We'll accept you if you're a non-Christian, unless you're a Muslim. If you're a Muslim, we will not accept you. Reason is, your system is a system of law and government, and it's at war against us. You've written it many times, and you've sworn to practice taqiyya, which means you can lie through your teeth. And, you know, so we can't trust you, and we're at war with you. So, and since yours is a system of law and government, as well as religion slapped on top of it, no, we can't take you. Sorry. But everybody else, if you worship your lawn chairs or nothing at all or whatever, but you say, wow, I love this. Can I help it? Can I join? We'll let you join. You're going to hear about Jesus every minute of the day. If that doesn't bother you, if you work alongside us, you can join. So a lot that we say and a lot that we do will grate on you if you're a non-Christian. If you're okay with that for a while, until you get
okay,
used to
David,
it.
Okay, David, we're going to be up against a hard break here in just a second, so hang tight. It'll be a short, very short break. We'll be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.